This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth on Mix 94.5.
Lisa and Pete, minus the Pete bit this afternoon. But we added Barra.
Added Barra and added Alyssa. And yes, you're quite right, Alyssa. We're going to speak to Adrian Barrich. Hello, Adrian.
Hello, Lisa. Hello,
Channel 7 Sport Extraordinaire. And we're going to talk about the weekend's wrap-up of the football season, because it pretty much was the wrap-up of the football season for Western Australia. But you're at the all-new stadium.
I am. I'm at the Perth Stadium, the billion-dollar stadium. It's so wonderful. What a game changer this is going to be for WA.
And
I've just been in one of the corporate boxes where you'll be hanging out, Lisa, next year.
And, one can dream.
The view is unbelievable. There's 1,000 televisions in this place, 70 food outlets.
Lots
more bathrooms. You know the bridge? I just found out the bridge that goes... The footbridge that goes from the stadium to East Perth.
The much talked about late one.
Yeah. You know why it's taking so long?
Why?
It's because you know how high it is?
How high?
65 metres.
Wow.
It actually goes up 65 metres. So that is why it's taking so long. It's as high as the stadium. So it's
what has to get underneath it? Those old winery tour boats weren't that high.
Yeah, well, when I say 65 metres, that's the height of it. The footbridge will still be much lower, but it's going to be an unbelievable work of art with lighting and other features. But it goes up 65 metres, so 9,000 people are going to use that to get to the footy every weekend.
Amazing. Well, don't all march across it at once, because you know what they used to say during wartime, that'll bring a bridge down. Now, let's get... I just realised how old that made me sound. Hey, Barrett, let's get to the footy. First of all, Ross Lyon concedes Fremantle have lost the respect of the football public. Why? Is that because they were thrashed on the weekend?
Again.
Well, I think that's a bit harsh, actually, on the Fremantle Dockers. I've looked at the number of the guys that are out, you know, Sanderlands and Lachie Neal and Michael Walters and Blakely, and some of their best players are not playing. I'm just about to go into a bit of an echo chamber here.
Oh.
And in the East, they're actually hammering the Dockers, saying that Ross Lyon, you know, has he lost it? Can he be a development
coach? But that's what they do in the East.
I know.
They've got to fill the front and back of the paper.
I know, it's not right. It is not right. These guys are rebuilding their club, and next year they'll be much different. So,
Not the only one.
No, exactly, and I wouldn't panic, and they're not even on the bottom. So I reckon that things will turn around quickly, and just playing at this new stadium will give them an extra 20%, I reckon.
It is going to be a new era. Yeah, we do have a little bit of what Ross Lyon said after the match. Let's just have a listen.
Yeah, he was talking about the inexperienced players.
We asked them to play with more composure and learn their lessons, but it's just a fact of life right at the moment. I don't think it comes as a complete surprise. I think after the first quarter, and then what happened is they kicked incredibly straight, and our stoppage work and all that, then everything just fell away a bit, that hope and that spirit, which... And the burden on your senior players becomes too great.
Gee, he's always so lively, old Ross Lyon, isn't he, Barra? Let's move on to the Eagles. And the headline says, giant blow to Eagles' finals hopes. That's an understatement, isn't it? I mean, are we doing the maths now? Is there any way they could make the finals?
Yeah. They've got to beat Adelaide, the top team.
Yeah.
And they almost have to rely on Fremantle to beat Essendon. How ironic that they want the Dockers to do the job against the Bombers. So,
well, they should have thought about that a bit earlier, shouldn't they?
No, they dropped a couple of games that they shouldn't have dropped and put themselves in a position where they have to rely on others. So you've got to say they're probably about a 30% chance now of making the finals, which is pretty ordinary. So it could be the last game at Subi for the Eagles on Sunday. And it was obviously Matt Fritz's last game, Sam Mitchell's last game, and the last Eagles game at Domain Stadium. So it'd be a monster game, and it could be a huge anticlimax. If Essendon's beaten Fremantle, probably they can't make the 8, unless they win by 20 goals, the Eagles, and that won't happen. So it could be season over.
Right. And it will be probably the last football game at Domain Stadium this weekend. The Western Force, just quickly, because we've got to let you get back to your tour of the stadium. They had a big sort of rally. Yes or no, is it likely that they can fight this being thrown out?
It's a bit like charging out up the windmill, fortunately. They try to, on Wednesday, go to the Supreme Court of New South Wales and challenge their owners, phone rugby union, as to why they can't still be in the comp. And even with a billionaire behind them, Andrew Twiggs-Boro, they haven't been able to turn things around, and I don't think it's going to happen. I hope it does, and 8,000 turned out yesterday in Floreat to support them. It was a sea of blue, massive protest. The state government today's question whether they can claim some money back for the redevelopment of NIB Stadium. So they're saying we might charge the ARU $100 million because that's where the team was supposed to play, and now the team doesn't exist.
God, it's complicated.
So there's a lot of pressure going on, but I can't see him doing a backflip now. So I hope they do, but
Huge day in sport. We will see it all tonight on Channel 7, and probably this too, maybe. My sports mad producer is telling me Docker Daniel Pierce was racially abused after yesterday's game, Adrian?
Docker Daniel Pierce?
Yeah,
well, we're investigating that. He didn't play in the game, so...
Really?
Not exactly sure what happened there, so...
He could even be abused in the stands.
I know.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll see all that tonight on Channel 7. Thanks, Barra.
Bye.
See ya. Now, we are all being urged to invite friends and family to visit Perth now as part of a new marketing campaign launched today by the state government in a bid to halt a hotel occupancy downturn. And to tell us more, we're joined by our tourism minister, Paul Papalia. Thanks for your time, Paul.
Hi, Lisa. How are you going?
Very good, thank you. So this is a $2 million campaign to try to fill our empty hotel rooms. What kind of crisis? Are we talking just the city or right across the state? Or
right across the state, but particularly in the city. It's not so much a downturn. What's happened is there was a downturn as post the boom, but it happened at the very same time as a whole range of really high-quality hotels came onto the market. So we've got the perfect storm, effectively, where... there's a downturn as a result of the end of the boom and also an oversupply of very high-quality hotel rooms.
I guess it's a similar situation to what a lot of us would have experienced, those that were here, post the America's Cup.
Yes, possibly. Now you're showing your age.
Yeah, I know. It's all right. Everyone knows.
Yeah, that could have been the case. But what we're doing is we're responding to that challenge that the industry is confronting. Mm-hmm. What we want to do is, fill aeroplane seats, get bums on seats and bodies in beds and help create jobs in Western Australia in the hotel industry.
Yeah, it's a win-win-win. So what is the incentive for people to visit us?
There's a lot more than just visiting friends and relatives. We're asking people to do that via an online campaign. But we're also, there's going to be a partnership campaign with a range of low-cost carriers in Southeast Asia, in Singapore, Malaysia, China and Indonesia. And they'll be targeting couples and families. There's going to be roadshows on the East Coast and in Singapore. In fact, this Sunday I'll be heading up towards China and then Singapore, and we're going to be launching a campaign telling people about the Perth Masters Racing Carnival, and we'll be doing a big launch of that at the High Commission in Singapore. The biggest online travel agent in China will be doing a tactical campaign with us, packaging up hotels, group tours and airline flights, and there'll be a big push on the WA, just another day in WA online campaign, and we'll be doing that with Expedia and, again, packaging up flights, hotels and tours. So it's a whole range of things, immediately responding to this challenge that the hotel industry is confronting, but also trying to grow jobs.
I guess that Southeast Asian market is our biggest market for tourism.
It is, and we, we're fortunate. There's a lot of Malaysians and Singaporeans and Indonesians who are very familiar and comfortable with Western Australia and Perth in particular. A lot of them went to school here.
And they
have kids who are going to school here right now. So it's not that big an ask just to stretch it a little bit further. It's quite affordable to get here. There's some low-cost carriers that come regularly to Perth, and we're just going to try and give them just another reason. We're going to say right now, we may have been suffering in the past from a legacy reputation as being expensive and hard to get into during the boom. And frankly, some of the hotel offering wasn't necessarily of the highest order. But right now, we have the best hotels in the world and they are affordable. And if you're thinking about it, we're telling people to come now.
What are the most, I'm curious, what are the most successful things to push about WA?
Well, in a lot of those markets, I mean, we're selling all the beautiful... beaches and skies and wonderful food and wine and the quality hotels that we have and the ability to, I'd say in Perth, I'm very focused on telling people that, and this goes for the East Coast as well, I'm telling people we have the only premium wine and gourmet food production site inside the capital city's confines anywhere in the Southern Hemisphere and certainly anywhere in Australia, and that's the Swan Valley. You can get there in a day trip. You can go over to Rottnest in a day trip, and that's a world-class destination. And I'd also throw in the Premier's electorate down in Rockingham, going over to Penguin Island, Seal Island, and if you're adventurous, going swimming with wild dolphins. And you can do all of that inside the city. Plus, we've got Kings Park, we've got the beaches, we've got restaurants, we've got...
we've got it all. You don't have to sell me.
Well, also, for those markets, those Asian markets, it's in the same time zone. So they can get off on their plane, get off, not be jet-lagged and get straight into it. And that's something nowhere else can sell in Australia.
Exactly. And people should keep in mind, too, our city is... the CBD area is changing so much all the time. It's great fun if you can to go and just have a night in a hotel and rediscover your own city.
Well, you want to tell people out there, we have very affordable, very high-quality hotels. And talking about the best hotels in the world are really going at ridiculously low prices by comparison to what you'd be paying around, even on the East Coast right now. They're very high prices compared to here. So it's a good time to go and check out the city if you're a local. But I'm trying to get extra new people in from interstate and overseas because that will create new jobs.
All right. Well, good luck with that on your junket over to tell them how great we are. Thanks for your time, Paul.
Much. Thank you.
See ya.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5.